Well, I think we all know our speaker this evening. He's a conceited hypocrite, and I'm glad I could be here this evening. And the thing that was on my mind as I prepared our sermon was church. And we think of church as a place. But the meaning of church, wherever you look in the scriptures, is in a place. It has several meanings. One is a collective body of believers. The church is supposed to work in unison and hopefully all is healthy and going the same direction. But we know that that's a perfect world and it doesn't work that way very often. Another meaning of church is the assembly of saints. And that's spoke of in Psalms 89, verse 7. It says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Well, we wouldn't want to gather together to give tribute to somebody that we're afraid of, would we? So when it says that God is greatly to be feared, what that means is that we do not like the things that are against God and against his teachings. Basically, things of the world. We know that the world puts a lot of pressure on people and that Satan has a way of preventing people from following after assembling themselves in the name of Christ. And we witness that constantly when we have worldly trouble and everybody thinks that could be the end of their time, then all of a sudden they want to go to church. They want to be in a building with other people that make them feel safe, that give them hope. And it's too bad that it takes something like that to give them that desire. In Psalm 111, it says, the church is the assembly of the upright. That's in verse 1 of Psalm 111. It says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. In the Old Testament, the people were called a congregation quite a bit. And they came to tabernacles. And they made sacrifices and that type of thing under the Mosaic law. I quite often think that I'm glad that I don't live in a time where you have to make sacrifices of animals and things, because to me that can be cruel. But it's one of those things that a cruel people were given cruel rules to live by, to keep them in line. But the Lord found a better way and taught us that sacrifice doesn't come from animals. It comes from within ourselves. In Ephesians, we find another little meeting of church, Ephesians chapter 4. No, Ephesians chapter 1 first. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read 17 through 23. It says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Calling the church here the body of Christ. If we're going to be a member of the body of Christ, it kind of gives us some responsibility, because like E Pluribus Unum, out of many, there is one. And when one is weak, it affects all. So we take on the responsibility of trying to stay healthy in this body of Christ. One of those ways that we do it is to follow his commandment to meet together often, to share those needs that we have, to ask the Lord to watch over us and enrich our lives. Something that we call faith, we exercise. Not in things that we can see, but in things that we believe in. And we see the results of. Now I'm going to go over to Ephesians 4 and read 10 through 22. "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from who the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. One of the things I wanted to point out in the first part of this reading is it says that till we come to the unity of faith, that we are no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men. Part of growing up is understanding what is the truth, instead of listening to this and listening to that. And of course, we always have Satan there to block our way and to make it to where we don't fully understand, and we start thinking of ourselves. Why should I go to church? I have other things to do. I have responsibilities that I need to go take care of, and I don't need to go to church to learn how to do this. And that kind of thinking is just exactly the kind of thing that will take that old man, never let him grow up. It takes a lot of the fortitude to face the things that we are told to face and to follow after the word of Christ that he gave to us. He set the example for us, and look what he went through. And he told us that the world's going to hate us if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, because it first hated him. And it'll hate us just the same way, because Satan has control of the world. This morning, our brother Jim read, "Where the natural man's an enemy to God." And what we read is proven over and over to be so true. And we see it because in little children, they come into this world innocent and trusting. They have their angels with them watching over them. And as they get older and start making decisions for themselves, they draw themselves apart. And if they don't have a good example and they don't have someone there to carry them, to teach them, just like we did, we had Christ there to teach us and to give us answers to all of our questions. And if we're not going to be there for the children will become natural men and draw themselves away And it's a sad thing, but it's a fact. I'm going to read on here a little bit. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, if we are members one of another, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, we all have times of emotion when we get discouraged and we have energy build up within us and it's frustrating and we don't know exactly how to handle it, and quite often we handle it poorly. But it says don't give place to that. If we put that energy into labor, working with our hands the thing which is good, then we have something that we can give to others. If we can channel that energy to make it produce the good fruit, you just work that frustration off by working harder to put Satan in his place. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We know the scripture that says, you know, if you can't forgive others, then you won't be forgiven. It's a commandment that we be kind one to another, that we forgive one another, because none of us is perfect. And if we want the Lord to work with us, and we need to work with each other. The perfecting of the saints. I'm going to switch books and go to the 4th Nephi, page 682. This is chapter 1 of 4th Nephi, and I'm going to read 11 through 14. And now behold, it came to pass that the people of Nephi did wax strong and did multiply exceeding fast and became an exceeding fair and delightsome people. And they were married and given in marriage and were blessed according to the multitude of the promises which the Lord had made unto them. And they did not walk any more after the performances and ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from their Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer and in meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass that there was no contention among all the people in all the land, but there were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples of Jesus. You know, it's going to be real hard to be unified people if we don't gather ourselves together often, if we don't continue in fasting and prayer, coming to hear the word of the Lord. We're not going to be able to feed ourselves. Not very often, anyway. There are isolated people who study the word and who quite often humble themselves in prayer and ask for guidance, and they receive it. But those are the best circumstances that they have, because they don't have a place to go to meet with those of like faith. We used to live in an area like this. We didn't have a building to go to where we could meet with those that believed the same as we did. But it didn't stop us from going and meeting with those that were trying to do what was right, even though we could see that there were differences. But it didn't stop us. We still would go and would gather with them. And try to be good neighbors. The Lord doesn't ask for any more than that. If you're doing all you can, then He will work with you. I'm going to go over to the Book of Mormon, page 710. This is chapter 4 of the Book of Mormon. I'm going to start on verse 62, read through 82. Do ye suppose that ye could be happy to dwell with the holy being when your souls are racked with the consciousness of your guilt, that ye have ever abused his law? Behold, I say unto you that ye would be more miserable to dwell with a holy and just God under a consciousness of your filthiness before him than ye would to dwell with the damned souls in hell. For behold, when ye shall be brought to see your nakedness before God, and also the glory of God and the holiness of Jesus Christ, it will kindle a flame of unquenchable fire upon you. O then, ye unbelieving, turn ye unto the Lord, cry mightily unto the Father in the name of Jesus, that perhaps ye may be found spotless, pure, fair, and white, having been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb at that great and last day. And again I speak unto you who deny the revelations of God and say that they are done away, that there are no revelations, nor prophecies, nor gifts, nor healing, nor speaking with tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Behold, I say unto you, he that denieth these things knoweth not the gospel of Christ. Yea, he has not read the Scriptures. If so, he does not understand them. For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And in him there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing. And now if ye have imagined up unto yourself a God who doth vary, and in him there is shadow of changing, then have ye imagined up yourself a God who is not a God of miracles. But behold, I will show unto you a God of miracles, even the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And it is that same God who created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. Behold, he created Adam, and by Adam came the fall of man, and because of the fall of man came Jesus Christ, even the Father and the Son, and because of Jesus Christ came the redemption of man. And because of the redemption of man, which came by Jesus Christ, they are brought back into the presence of the Lord. Yea, this is wherein all men are redeemed. Because the death of Christ bringeth to pass the resurrection, which bringeth to pass a redemption from an endless sleep, from which sleep all men shall be awakened by the power of God when the trump shall sound. And they shall come forth, both small and great, and all shall stand before his bar, being redeemed and loosed from this eternal band of death, which death is a temporal death. And then cometh the judgment of the Holy One upon them, and then cometh the time that he that is filthy shall be filthy still, and he that is righteous shall be righteous still. He that is happy shall be happy still, and he that is unhappy shall be unhappy still. And now, O all that ye have imagined up unto yourselves a God who can do no miracles, I would ask of you, have all these things passed which I have spoken? Has the end come yet? Behold, I say unto you, nay. And God has not ceased to be a God of miracles. Behold, are not the things that God hath wrought marvelous in our eyes? Yea, and who can comprehend the marvelous works of God? Who shall say that it was not a miracle that by his word the heaven and the earth should be, and by the power of his word man was created of the dust of the earth, and by the power of his word hath miracles been wrought? And who shall say that Jesus Christ did not do many mighty miracles? And there were many mighty miracles wrought by the hands of the apostles. And if there were miracles wrought, then why has God ceased to be a God of miracles and yet be an unchangeable being? And behold, I say unto you, he changeth not. If so, he would cease to be God. And he ceaseth not to be God, and is a God of miracles. You know, just reading these words isn't enough. When we actually see the miracles that God does, and we stop and we contemplate on what just happened. Was that a miracle or was that a coincidence? Then we think about how God is in charge of everything and how he created everything and how he has not changed. But we are the ones that change. We're the ones that say that, no, this is the year 2011. I have a right to pick whoever I want to live with, and I don't need a piece of paper that says I have to marry him. We're entering into a time when the natural man is going to follow after the things that Satan has set before him, and he is going to be very powerful. And it's going to be real hard to resist all these things and not let it affect the way that we live. And it may even seem that God has ceased to work among the people, unless we are the church, the body of Christ, and we recognize the way that God works. and we would not be in misery to live with God. He gives us hope. He gives us understanding. He gives us miracles. And we need to recognize these things, because we're entering into a time of unrest in the world where these things are what we are going to live by. Going to switch books back again. Go back to the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. It says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." This just kind of sums up what I was speaking about. That the Lord said that he would never leave us. The Lord is my helper. You know, without him, I wouldn't have much to look forward to. I know there's been many times in my life when he has made all the difference. We just have to give him credit for that and recognize it for what it really is. In Mark chapter 8, going to read 4 verses there. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Speaking of Christ here, and it says, "And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Lord told us, I'm coming. I'm coming back. And he wants us to take care of his body. Because when he comes back, he wants to come into that body and to say, job well done. The body's in good shape because you took care of it. You followed after my word. You didn't follow after the world. He doesn't want to be ashamed of us. But you know, if we're ashamed to say, well, I would like to go party with you and I've got shopping to do and all this, you know, but today's church day. Today I have to go and learn what I have to do to take care of the body of Christ. Because he's going to come back and reclaim it. When he does, I want to be doing my part. We want to be sufficient. I'm going to go over to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3. Verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. If it was up to us to do it our way, to take care of the things of God, the first thing we would do is mess it up. Our sufficiency is of God. And so we have to gather ourselves together often and ask God, how do I be sufficient? How do I produce this fruit for you? Help me in this endeavor. You're not going to get that without following after his commandments, to go to church, to meet with the body, to support the body. You know, I've talked to people who don't have hope. And it's a sad thing. They think that when life is over, that's it. You're done. There's nothing afterwards. And the Lord told us, and he showed us, that life is eternal. And he sacrificed his body and his blood to prove it to us. I'm going to finish out this evening in the book of John, 14th chapter is where I want to go first. And I'm going to read 23 through 28, the 14th chapter of John. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying, and the word which he heareth is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. The Lord says, if you believe in my words, then you will rejoice with me. Even though this old world is tough and it'll destroy your flesh and your blood, rejoice in knowing that I'm coming back. And we're going to take care of things for our Heavenly Father. My last reading is in the next chapter. It's chapter 15 of the book of John. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. These are the words of Christ. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. The Lord put himself on equal ground. And he said, you're not servants, you're my friends. If you're doing what the commandments have told us to do, then we're friends. Then we have a body. We're going to take care of that body together. That's what the Lord has promised. And we can't ask anything more than to rejoice with the Lord. And whether we do it just in church or whether we do it every day of our life, it's important that we learn of His Word and the way that He expects us to stay a part of His body. Otherwise, He'll be ashamed of us and He'll have no part in us when this life is over. That's not our desire. Our desire is to meet together often, to sing, to praise, to ask for help, to be sufficient in the Lord. And if we can't see that, then we're still children. We have not matured. I was talking to a guy yesterday who wanted to hire me to do a job, cut his hay and bale his hay, but he says, I'm not going to pay you. I've sold the place and I just want to clean it up. And he says there's a guy out in Fruta that has pot-bellied pigs and he'll probably buy the hay. Well, I went over and looked at his place and he talked about the guy that he sold his place to. He said, he's supposed to be a Christian. But he says, I don't think he's a Christian. He says, I've never seen a Christian like him. And the guy talked about God a lot. And about every sentence he had, he talked about God in a negative manner. And I told him, well, I'm not going to do your job for you. I don't work for free. My time is better spent doing other things. And his colorful metaphor just went on. And I told him, good luck. he's moving back to Kansas where he grew up, and the guy's 70, what do you say, 75 years old. He hasn't grown up yet. But he places judgment on other people. But he himself was vile. That's not what we want to be. We want to be sufficient and be a part of that body of Christ, because he's coming back to claim it. And hopefully we'll be there as one of his friends. Thank you.